So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in this place together. We honor you, Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again to a living hope. You have sent the Lord Jesus because you love the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and sacrificing yourself. Now, Holy Spirit of God, as we seek to honor Jesus today, as we lift up Jesus with our praise and with our words, may you draw people to yourself. May you draw them to salvation. May you draw them to rededication. We thank you, Lord, for saving us so that we might serve you and we might serve others. We pray that today you might help us to find on our lips these words, "How may I serve you?" May it be genuine as we speak to our neighbors. And we pray today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts from your word. We thank you for this time of worship and for the sweet spirit in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll find your place in 1 Peter chapter number 4. Good morning. If you're a guest, I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored to have you here today. Welcome to our summertime services. People are in and out, and we pray for our people as they travel. And if you've been with us for any amount of time, we've been speaking about for a number of weeks the very important principle that we must learn as God's people how to serve not only the Lord, but serve others and do good deeds. So today we'll conclude our time thinking about these things. We've had last week we had Renee Boehm, who came and spoke to us about her own burden and her own testimony as she serves as a director of the Help Center. We're honored that she would do that as a part of our church. And this morning, Christy Arnold is going to come. Christy, if you'll come on and make your way on up. Would you greet Christy Arnold? She is the director of CASA here in Dixon. Christy. Now, while Christy is making her way here, how many of you know what CASA is? Raise your hand. Christy, this will give us an idea. Keep your hand up real high. Let us see up there in the top. And good morning again.
Good morning.
Christy and I, all right, Mr. Dodd, bring up Christy's mic if you would there. We've been doing this for 3 hours, so now we've got it down, and you're going to get the best job that we've done all day. Christy's done great. I need a little work, so we're working on it. So Christy is the executive director of CASA. We bring these who are our friends and who are part of our church, who are involved in very important ministries in our community, because it is an opportunity for all of us here to be reminded of how we're to serve our neighbor, especially to love the neighbor who is our stranger, who we don't know by name. So Christy comes to share with us a very important ministry that goes on in Dixon County all the time. And this ministry's been about 4 years in the making. So Christy, tell us a little bit about CASA for those who don't know what it's about so that we might have a better understanding. I think this will help our people as we think about serving others.
Well, CASA stands for Court Appointed Special Advocate. And what we do is we advocate on the behalf of children that are in foster care due to abuse and neglect. Our advocates are volunteers within the community, within Dixon County.
So this is not foster care. This is not being a foster parent, and though that's a very important, wonderful thing, and we've talked about that as a church before and had folks share about foster care. This is court-appointed advocates for a child who the court, because of family conditions, the court has determined that they need to be separated from their biological parents.
Right. When a child comes into foster care and they come before the juvenile court judge, there are times where he feels that there needs to be an extra set of eyes and ears within that child's life. And he will court appointed or give us a court order where we are ordered to that child's situation. And so then we match up an advocate, a volunteer, with that child so that they get to know that child. They can talk with their teachers. They can talk with the foster parents. They can talk to the doctor to build that rapport and that relationship with that child so that they can be that child's voice in court.
So I know we have, you said 100, we've had 100.
Dixon County averages about 100 children in foster care in the summer. Those numbers will go up.
Right now you have need of advocates.
We are in dire need right now. Right now we have on our waiting list that we have been ordered to around 28 to 30 children right now that are on a waiting list that does not have a CASA advocate. We would love to have every child in foster care with an advocate.
Christy, some people would say, well, you know, if they already have foster parents, that seems like that would be enough to support them. Why is it important for the courts to do this? Why is it important for these advocates to be assigned to the child? And this is children from, you said, birth all the way through 18.
Birth to 18.
So this is birth to 18, children of all ages. Why is it important for the advocate to be separate from the foster parents?
As an advocate, we will see and look at things through a different lens. We're not the attorney. We're not the GAL. We're the child. Sometimes they are scared, nervous. They won't talk to them. When they build that relationship and that rapport with a CASA advocate, they feel like they are being seen. They feel like they're being heard. And what they tell us, we actually will tell that juvenile court judge. We write reports that he will look at, and he will take our reports into consideration when he makes his decisions.
So you, this sounds like it would be very, you'd have to have certain requirements to do this kind of work, but you said no. You said it's a volunteer and that you train, that CASA trains any who would volunteer to be an advocate for children.
We do train. You don't have to have a social service background. As long as you're 21 years or older and you have a love, a heart, desire to help children.
Do you have advocates of all ages right now? Some that are from 21 all the way up to seniors?
We've got some that are full-time students. We've got some that are full-time professionals. We have people that are retired. They come from all different backgrounds, which is great because our kids are not the same.
Right. So, Christy, what is it that put a burden in your heart to do this? This is a heavy, important responsibility. I want us all to remember these are children who have no ability to determine what's going on in their family life. And this is going on in the courts, and this is a very serious and important thing. These are vulnerable, in many ways we'd say helpless children. What is it that God's put on your heart that's led you to do this kind of work? And God bless you for doing it.
I feel like children should be filled with innocence, with joy, and with laughter. They're in circumstances that they have no control over. It's not their fault. And all these decisions are being made for them, and all of this is going around, their environment's being changed, and I just feel that I want to advocate. I want to be that voice. I want to be that extra set of eyes and ears for those kids so that they can be heard and their needs and wants can be heard.
So we have a table at the back. You can, Christy will be back there with some of the other folks from CASA. And I believe, I've been saying this all morning long, I believe that when God brings people our way, that we make this appeal, we ask for the help of the church, God calls out some of us to do this very important work and this challenging work. And so if God puts it on your heart to at least begin to investigate, thinking about, considering this, go by and see Christy and the folks at the table at the back and at least start the conversation if God's put it on your heart. And so we want to pray for Christy and we pray for CASA right now. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christy and for her leadership. Bless her in the days ahead. Bless her and give her the strength she needs to do the work that you've called her to do. We pray for these dear children of all ages who desperately need someone to walk beside them. We thank you for people who've done that in our lives. We pray that you would supply the need for these volunteers to help these dear ones. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless our staff and bless the board as they work with our court system and our judges. And may the Lord Jesus be honored and glorified as many of our own people step forward and say, I will help one of these children. Put it in their hearts. May we at First Baptist Church be a helping people to these ministries that exist to do this great work. And so we thank you for Christy. We thank you for her testimony and her example today. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you say thank you to Christy again for her service? God bless you. So we said last week, as we were reminded about doing good works, Jesus said, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we talked about the stranger neighbor, the neighbor who is the stranger. We don't know the names of these boys and girls and these students who are in this condition. They didn't ask to be in this condition. They weren't looking for this situation to happen in their life. There was a priest who saw this beaten up man and he passed by. He was really busy. He had a busy life. He was a religious leader. There was a Levite. He had a lot of things to do. He saw the broken, beaten man, this helpless, vulnerable stranger. Didn't know his name. He passed by on the other side. But another man, a Samaritan, came by and saw him and felt compassion. Oh, Pastor Mike, I can't hear this. I have so many things to do. I have so many things to do. And the Lord said to the scholar lawyer, when he asked him, who is my neighbor? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. What put yourself in the place of one of these children? Wouldn't you hope that someone stepped forward to help? Well, we make the appeal. I believe in always making the appeal to God's people and allowing the Holy Spirit to call out those that would do it. So the Lord will do that. So today we continue in 1 Peter chapter 4 as we look at these final words of considering what it means to serve God and serve others. And I'd like for you to stand now in honor of the reading of God's word, and we will read verses 10 and 11. Peter's saying some other things here that are very important. He says in verse number 10, as he speaks to Christians now, and as I seek to speak to the believers of this church today, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him do it as the utterance of God. Whoever serves, let him do it as the one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Remove distraction from us all for a while here so that we may hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this morning we begin by this focus. The focus of my comments will be around this central truth, that all of God's people are spiritually gifted to serve others. So if you're here this morning and you are born again and you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've confessed Him as Lord and you have believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you've been saved and you've been changed from the inside out, the first thing that happens is your orientation toward yourself changes. This is a big thing now. You never serve anybody else as long as you're self-centered. Do you know that? You're not going to do it. You're not going to serve God or others as long as self is in the center. No, we must discover what Jesus said. If any man or any woman will follow me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. You see, when you come to know Jesus, you surrender and confess your sin. You confess the things that you've done in your life and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved and your whole orientation changes. All of a sudden, it's God first and other people second, and you get in line last. But there's something here that I want you to consider. All God's people, I said, are spiritually gifted. There's nothing more impressive than meeting a gifted person, like our musicians here. Oh, how many of us sat here today with all of this going on and seeing all of these musicians so gifted. We all wish we could do it, but we're inspired by their giftedness. Nothing is more powerful than watching an athlete who's a gifted athlete overcome some circumstance in their playing of their sport and we watch that gifted athlete come through. It's just there's something about it. But I tell you, all of that is as great as it is to observe the elite in music and the elite, the gifted in sports and in business or whatever you want to pick. There's nothing more blessed and there is nothing more helpful than all of God's people, all of God's spiritually gifted people doing good for others. There's nothing like it. Because it spreads all over Dixon, all over the surrounding area, around the world. There's nothing like it. You see, the difference in giftedness for the Christian world versus the other world. You see, when we talk about gifted children, you know, everybody thinks your kids are gifted. But the idea is there are these special ones that have these special abilities. Oh, but when you come to know Jesus, all of God's people are specially gifted ones. Every last one of you here, no matter who you are, no matter what your education, no matter what your background, no matter your knowledge of God's word, no matter whether you're just starting or whether you're ending, whether you've been walking with God a long time, look, if you know Jesus Christ, you're one of the gifted ones. And so we want to learn today what Peter has to say about taking our giftedness and using it to serve other people. So I'll make four observations about these words, and I hope you'll consider them. We're just going to go right through verse number 10 and verse number 11 and look at a few things Peter says. Number one, we see this observation that all God's people have been given, as I've already been saying, spiritual giftedness from the Lord. Now let's look at it again, verse number 10. As each one, I'm looking around, each one, those of you who are born again, each one, as each one has received a special gift, you received that special gift or gifts, these spiritual giftings from God when you were born again. You didn't even recognize it. You didn't even know what was happening, but all of a sudden, you have a motivation to do certain things that otherwise you would not have had, and it's because of the gifting that you now have from God. This is a very important principle for us to remember. I have here for you on the screen, Romans chapter 12, verse number 6. Since we, Paul's talking to the Roman church, since we have gifts, giftings, spiritual giftings that differ according to the grace given to us. You see, God in His grace, when He saved you, also equipped you and gifted you. Each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. And then he goes on to talk about a few of those gifts. My primary focus here is to read these first few words of Peter and remind us all here today, no matter your age, no matter how old or young, each one of us who are born again, students, those of you who are students here, you were born again, you have spiritual gifts. Senior adults, you're born again, you have spiritual gifts. And all of us in between, every generation of believers, we have been given, as Peter says, we have received a special gifting from God. These are an example of the power of God. These giftings exhibit the power of God in your life and in mine. They're not natural abilities. Oh, they sometimes enhance our talents and our abilities from birth, but these spiritual giftings are not your talents and abilities naturally. They are a separate set of supernatural abilities that God has given to you. That's how special you are being born again. That's how special you are to the Lord. This is God's way of giving you the strength to do good things for others and to serve God. So first we see, as Peter says, as each one has received a special gift. That is, all God's people have been given these spiritual giftings. Secondly, it goes right along with this. Peter goes on to say, as each one has received a special gift. And then he uses this phrase, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Your Bible may read a little differently. Employ your gift to serve another. This word actually is the word used for deacon, diakonos. See, he says it twice. He literally says, serve in serving others. That's what you do. As soon as God gifts you, he gifts you in order that you may serve others. This is Peter's point. Employ it in serving one another. We have a responsibility. Oh, when God's people use their spiritual gifts, the church is better for it. When God's people use their spiritual gifts, the gospel is advanced around the world. This is so important for us to remember, this principle of using our gifts. In fact, I've given you this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But to each one, this is Paul's way of saying what Peter's saying, but to each one, all of you who are believers, to each one is given, look at this, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Sometimes people say, oh, we need to have a great meeting so that we can see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's true. We sense and experience the Spirit of God as we gather together. But did you know that the Spirit of God is seen, manifest, when you use your spiritual gifts? The Spirit of God, the power of God is seen as you use your spiritual gifts. So in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, you have listings of gifts. As the apostles started out and in the early church, as the gospel was advancing into new places, there were miraculous and supernatural gifts. Places around the world, as the gospel shared, you still see these amazing supernatural spiritual gifts that take place. And we somehow think of these other gifts as somewhat ordinary. They're not ordinary, they're supernatural. I gave you, if you picked up a worship guide as you came in, I gave you a list that comes from, it's a collection of some of these ministry gifts, these serving gifts that are listed in the New Testament. They are an example of what Paul calls the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is the way God designed it. God designed that his people would be born again and that you would live and use, listen to me, your supernatural spiritual gifts for the work of God. That's God's plan. So you look at these supernatural gifts, administration. Those of us who don't have administration, we do know that's a supernatural gift. Those of you who are unorganized, thank God for those who have this gift. Can anybody say amen? Evangelism, exhortation, giving, helps, hospitality, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, shepherding, teaching, all of these combined are an example of the importance of these supernatural gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God's people, Peter says it here, as each one has received a spiritual gift, you now have been gifted. The saddest thing in the world is to see a gifted person neglect their giftedness, which leads me to the third thing that Peter says here. All God's people must be managers, stewards of their spiritual gifts. He says here in verse number 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it. Get busy. Use your spiritual gifts, not your own power and talents. Serve God in the joy and power of the Spirit of God working through you and the giftedness he's given you as good stewards, notice, of the manifold grace of God. This idea of the manifold grace of God. The Greek word is actually the word for colorful. The colorful grace of God. So many varieties of how God equips us and gifts us. And every one of us have such a uniqueness in the way we are gifted. You see, we don't often think of ourselves as the gifted people of God. We think of ourselves as pretty regular and ordinary. That's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God moves into everyday people who confess Jesus as Lord and turns them into supernatural people of God. You are now possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. You must live your life as a new creature in Christ, dependent upon the Holy Spirit to lead you, to prompt you, and to empower you to do your work. Listen, there's a motive. Your motivation for service is always tied to your gifts. Your motivation for service is always tied to your gifts. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. At your job, you have a responsibility to do whatever it is. Some of you have more responsibility than others, but you have a responsibility. You have accountability to do what you're called to do. You must be trustworthy. You must demonstrate that you can be trusted, that you can be counted on, that you're going to show up, that you're going to do what you're going to do. The same is true for your spiritual gifts. You see, God gave them to you. May I ask you this question today? What are you doing with your gifts? Are you using them? Are you negligent of this? Have you, like the fellow was given the money to take care of, he just dug a hole in the ground and hid it because he certainly didn't want to lose any of it. He didn't go out and make any money on that money for his master. Can you be trusted with the gifting God's given to you? Oh, Pastor Mike, that's for other people. That's for other people in the church. Well, we have here Peter going on to describe both public and private ways. This isn't an exhaustive list. It's an example. Public and private ways that we show and use our gifts. He says in verse 11, whoever speaks, he is to do it as one who is speaking the utterance of God. You speak on behalf of God. You preach on behalf of the Lord. You speak the word of God. You exhort. It's not coming from the individual. It's coming from the words of God. And we speak them with urgency. And we urge one another as we teach the word of God and preach the word of God to all ages, because this is important. There are public gifts that we use in the church, but there are private gifts. He goes on to say, whoever serves is to do his serving by the strength which God supplies. You see, all God's people have been given spiritual giftedness from the Lord. Every last one of us. You have a gifting. Every one of us we're to use, those of us who are born again, our spiritual gifts to serve others. And we're to be good stewards of them. In all the years that I've been the pastor of this church, we've had class after class of people go through, our new members go through our new member class. We've used this guide for all of these years, this ministry gifts inventory. It's very important for every single, you may not have been through the new member class, but every one of you who are a part of this church, every one of you needs to go through this. Every one of you must discover and understand how God has gifted you. You don't do it so that you can go home and tell your wife, now isn't that funny? Did you ever look at me like that? That's not what this is about. It's not like some kind of a game we play where we talk about things that we're like so that we can laugh about it. No, this is urgent. I'm appealing to you and speaking to you as your pastor. If you care about serving other people, if you care about doing what God's called you to do, you must know and you must live by the use of your spiritual gifts. This is the only way the church is improved. This is the only way the gospel comes around. So you need to call the office. You need to do this. You don't need to do this in a class as much as we do it in a class sometimes. You need to do this before the Lord and say, Lord, how have you made me in Christ Jesus? You are his workmanship. Part of that is the gifting you have. You are a special, unique creation of God being born again. And the only way you can recognize that is to spend the time and discover the gifting God has given you. You can't serve people in your own strength. That's why you quit. That's why you give up. That's why you get disgusted with people. That's why Peter says here, if you're serving, serve with the strength that God supplies. Where does that come from? From your gifting, your supernatural gifting from God. You'll keep going. You'll keep serving. You won't stop, no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the trouble. You will continue to use your gifts. This church, for every one of you who's a part of this church, God expects you to employ, use your spiritual gifts for the glory of God in this place, for these people. We're not all that we can be as a church because some of us are neglecting the use of our spiritual gift. You're letting some of the rest of us do it, and you're just kind of here for a show. We're not here for a show. This church does not exist just to meet your needs so that you'll be happy. This isn't Walmart. I've reminded you that several times. This isn't Kroger. This is a place where we get equipped. This is a place where we get trained. This is a place where we get challenged and encourage each other to do what? To go serve. To serve God and to serve other people. That's why we're here. This is our stopover place in between all of our activity of serving others. So you must be responsible and trustworthy in your gifts. And I appeal to you as best I can. I've appealed all morning long. If you've not taken this, you need to sit down and you need to evaluate how has God equipped me to serve Him. One last thing and I'm finished. Notice what Peter says. He says, whoever speaks, verse 11, let him do so in speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves, let him do so serving with the strength which God supplies, so that, here's the reason, God's people glorify the Lord when they use their spiritual gifts. So that God may be glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. What did Paul say? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you're eating or drinking, whatever you're doing, do all to the glory of God. Whatever it is, however you serve, however you use your gifts, do all to the glory of God. You are equipped. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't have enough training. This isn't about training. This isn't about knowledge. This is about a gift that's already in you supernaturally from the Holy Spirit of God. Now you act on it. You respond. You are when the call comes, just like Christy, when the call comes, when the appeal comes, how can we as God's people hear that there are 30 children without anybody to be an advocate for them and be okay with that? Well, I heard that today at church. Hey, what are we going to have today? Tacos? Well, boy, wasn't that sad what I heard today at church. I really feel bad for those kids. How can we say that the love of God is in us and close our hearts? No. This is what happens. The Spirit of God moves in us. We hear the call. We see the need. There lays that man, helpless, beaten up. Nobody, you know, the Samaritan didn't feel sorrow and then get down there and say, don't you know better than to travel this road by yourself without a gun? He didn't give him a lecture. He saw him and took care of him. When God calls you out, now this is very important. This is a matter of obedience or disobedience. I'm talking to you, I love you in Jesus, but I'm your pastor. When God stirs you and the Holy Spirit is saying to you, do something and you don't do it, you're disobedient. And then you wonder, why won't the Lord answer my prayers? Why don't I have peace in my heart? You pass by on the other side. You were too busy. We have all of these things. Pastor Mike, don't you know? I have all of these family matters I have to deal with. I have so much at work. I can't, I'm overwhelmed. And the call comes. And the need comes before you. And the motivation starts to rise. And the Holy Spirit says, I'll give you the power to do it. This is how we glorify God. What did Jesus say? We talked about it a few weeks ago. Let your light shine before people that they see your good works. Not that you're announcing it on Facebook. By the way, if you do that, you already have your reward. They see what you do and they glorify your Father in heaven. This is the call on the church. It's the call on the church of every age. It's the call of the church over and over again. This is the appeal. When Paul saw that vision of the man from Macedonia, come over and help us, Paul could have said, I'm really having a hard time right now in his mind. I'm not going. That would have stopped the advance of the gospel into Europe. And where would we be had Paul not gone? So I have three things for you in daily use as we leave. This is our application for today. Number one, I'm pounding the nail. I know I'm pounding it. I know you all are ready to go. Say, okay, I got it. I got it. I got it, Pastor Mike. I got it. One more time. One more time. Do you know your spiritual giftedness? Not just for fun and games. Not just so you can share with your friend and family and you can all laugh and say, oh yeah, well, I can see that in you. Do you know? Do you know how God has wired you supernaturally? Second, what are you doing? What are you doing with it? Is it just some nice thing to know? Well, the only way you're going to ever serve God with power and make it for the long haul is by living and serving with the spiritual giftedness God's given you. That's what I mean by this last thing. God's power will come on you. When you serve God out of the power of the Holy Spirit through your spiritual giftedness, you will be amazed at your energy and strength and endurance. Well, Pastor Mike, if I was in a better condition, I would serve God. But you don't have that choice. Nowhere does the Word of God say to the Christian, when you're having a good day, serve somebody else. When everything in life is going well, serve somebody else. We serve God when we're having a hard day. We serve God when we're having a good day. We serve others when we're having a hard day, and we serve others when we're having a good day, because we do it out of the power of the Holy Spirit in us. You know how you can know if you're saved today? Two things. You want to know the real marks of knowing whether you're a true born-again believer or if you're just a professor and you say a good thing, you're religious? First of all, the fruit of the Spirit. When you're saved, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and tenderheartedness rise out of you. They just come out of you. It's the natural response of the Holy Spirit, of God's presence in our life. The second thing is your spiritual giftedness is a mark that you are one of God's saved, gifted ones. So where has God sent you to serve? I don't know. So I end with the way we started these words many weeks ago. Paul, he said, you are created in Christ Jesus, a workman, your workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has planned ahead of time. So God equips you for the work he has assigned for you to do until you go to be with Jesus. And as I say every week, I have my list and you have yours. So today, we end with the words we started with. How may I serve you, Lord? That's what we say. That's what God's people say. How may I serve you, Lord? And then we look to all of our neighbors and we say, how may I serve you? One last time, turn to your neighbor now in practice. Turn to your neighbor and say, how may I serve you? And do it with a smile.